to the Voices of Legacy broadcast here on WGTE Public Media. This is your host, Pastor Carl E. Mitchell III, senior pastor at Restored Church of the Bible Way and the host of the Voices of Legacy. We are honored to have Mrs. Vera Armstrong with us today, a devoted author and prayer warrior, friend of the gospel. Vera's journey is a testament of the power of faith, and we're excited to hear what she has to say about it. She's an author as well of a very extraordinary book called Exhortations to Pray, inspired by her faith walk during a time of deep personal prayer. She recognized her need to share in her expression of faith, and she's doing so with a pretty popular book. She's going to talk to us about that as well. Good day, Miss Vera. How are you today?
I'm just wonderful. Good day to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I feel welcomed on my own program. But nevertheless, we are so thankful to have you here with us at the Voices of Legacy. Tell us something about yourself.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me on the show, and it's such a wonderful blessing to be asked to be a part of your show. And I praise God for where he's brought me to at this point. My name is Vera Armstrong, and I've been a person that lived in Toledo for several years. I came here as a young woman and married my husband. Mm-hmm. We were here for several years, and he wanted to go to California.
No. So, did you marry him or did he marry you?
We married each other.
Okay. Good answer. Good answer.
And we went to California, and we were like the life of the party people.
Oh.
You know, we just
always
party. Well,
they say California is the place you ought to be.
And we just was the life of the party. And my husband started his own business out there. And I was going to school, trying to get a degree, just going back to school, just trying to do some things. And I was just basically minding my own business, doing my homework one day in my living room when I heard this voice. And it called my name. And I was like, who is that calling me? Because nobody was there but me.
Oh.
And so I got so upset because I knew who it was.
Oh.
And the reason why I got upset was because I knew my life was about to change.
Mm.
I did not want the change. I wanted to continue doing what I was doing. Mm. Most people do.
So it was your burning bush moment.
Yes. As it were. Yes. And so as I was sitting there, and the voice called me again. So I got up, I went outside, and I stood on this little mound next to my condo, and I yelled at God. I put my hands on my hips, and I yelled up at God, asking, what did he want with me?
Wow.
And so he opened up my eyes supernaturally and rolled a scroll down out of heaven. And on that scroll, the very first thing was, go back to Toledo. And I'm like, we can't go back there because that's why we left. We don't want to be there. So it's just, I won't get into all of that. But anyway, that's how it started.
So you didn't want to go?
I didn't want to come back here.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd never liked Toledo.
So that sounds like a calling.
It was a calling.
And you answered the call.
I answered the call.
But did you do it immediately, or was there a little bit of consternation?
I did it right away.
Oh, wow.
Because when I came off that mountain, I knew I had an encounter with the living God.
Wow.
Because I had never known God. I had never. I grew up in church. Most of us do. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Baptist church in Georgia, and that's all I knew.
Foot stomping
the Baptist church.
All right. Wow.
And I didn't know anything about God. Mm-hmm. I just knew about church.
Yeah, the experience.
And we partied. We did everything we always did, but mm-hmm. we'd go to church.
Yes.
And so I came in the house, and I just stood there, and I had lost everything. Had basically lost my mind. Not in a negative way, mm-hmm. but in the sense where I knew that I was being controlled by a higher power.
So this is a serious spiritual experience.
This is a serious spiritual experience that wow. I had. That's why I am the way I am now, because of that experience.
So it caused fear in the moment, but it caused you to be fearless.
Yes, and it caused me to know that God had a purpose and a plan for my life, and I didn't realize it.
Wow.
And I knew that God was calling me to do something, but I didn't know what it was. All I know is I had to answer that call. Mm-hmm. So it's a funny part of the story. When my husband came home from work, we were sitting at the dinner table eating. So I told him, I said, we're going to have to go back to Toledo.
Wow.
He said, what?
What
I said,
he said,
is something wrong with my mother or something wrong with your father? I was like, no. He said, why do we have to go back? That's because God said it. He backed away from the table. He looked at me. He said, God, when did God start talking to you? Because I was the terror one. I was the terror. He said, so I was like, today. And I was so humble. Mm. And so later on in the years, my husband said that scared him so much because he knew that if I was all quiet and wasn't putting up a fight about what I had asked him to do, he knew something was happening to me.
Wow.
And he could see the change. And so when we got back, we came right our way. Well, he said, well, if God want me to come back to Toledo, he's going to have to tell me himself. Mm. So that's the way he can do it. So that night,
he had an experience.
We had an earthquake.
Oh, my goodness.
A tidal wave and a mudslide all in one night. So when the mudslide came down from the mountain and fell on everybody's
car. That's
what
I'm thinking. You're living in the mountains.
The mountain came down on top of the carports.
Oh, my goodness.
And everybody's car was full of mud but ours. My husband turned and looked at me. He says, what did you get packed? So we threw everything in the car and had our friends to ship our stuff to us later on. And we headed back to Toledo. And that's how it began. That's how my journey began with the Lord. And so I came back here and didn't know what to do because we had given up our house and given up everything. Mm. And so we came back here and God just blessed us. He just started just opening doors. And so that's what happened in that era. And then it went on and that I just.
How long ago was that?
That was in 1986.
Wow.
And I got in my prayer closet and I prayed 1987 on. From 1987, I started praying. And God has started doing things. The different things was happening. And I could see the hand of God moving. That's why I tell people God is real. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel, what you think, or what you believe, basically. He's real. Mm. And you need to get to know the real God.
Yes.
And so I know him. Mm. And that's why I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful because he gave me that experience to know that he's real. And that's my job. So he told me what my ministry is. My ministry is to go out and seek and save those and tell them about Jesus and let them know that he's real.
Wow.
And I've been doing that. And in the process of that, I've been persecuted beyond measure. Mm-hmm. But that's what happens when you serve God.
Yes.
It comes with the territory.
It does.
And you have to be strong in him in order to endure. So I just thank God because.
So before this, was your background in ministry?
No.
What did you do?
I was I worked at Columbia Gas. That's where I left there. When we left here, I was on a medical leave from Columbia Gas. And so I gave it up, closed out the case, and moved to California. Then when we came back, I didn't work right away because I just was in my prayer closet working. That's where I was at. My husband got a job back at Jeep because he used to work at Chrysler Jeep. So when he came back, they just hired him back.
Oh, wow.
But I was in my prayer closet the whole time, praying the whole time, just praying. And so when I would come out, God would give me things to do. And I would go different parts of the city, go over there and pray for this person. And I would do that.
So it sounds like you just went straight to ministry.
I did. I went straight to ministry.
So we've covered the divine encounter, and that's an understatement based on your experience and how you've described that. I tell you, you probably need a treatment for a movie on that one. Your early life journey, your spiritual revelation. So this led you to write? And is this your first book that we're talking about today?
Yeah, this is my first book.
Okay.
The reason this book came, Exhortations to Kate. I'm sorry, Exhortations to Pray came about.
See, I was scared. I was going to miss it.
With prayer,
okay.
The reason why is because my husband became ill. Oh. After we were back about 10 years, he got sick. And I would go into the prayer closet and I would just pray. And when I would come out, the Lord would have me to write. Mm-hmm. And I was just writing different stuff that's in the book, but I didn't know why. I was just writing
it
down.
So you didn't know it was a book yet?
I didn't know it was a book.
That's awesome.
So I wrote it all down, and whatever I would write when I came out of the prayer closet, I would just put it aside in a tablet somewhere. So one day, the Lord asked me to get all those notes together. He said, put them together. It's going to be a book. And I was just excited about that. So this book was written 20 years before it was published.
Wow.
So I took it and put it all together. So the Lord gave me everything the way it is now in the book. Mm-hmm. That's how he gave it to me. The acknowledgments, the preface, the forward, everything, not the forward, but the dedication, everything was given to me 20 years before this book was written.
Wow.
And so I wrote it all down and put it on the shelf. Didn't think anything else about it. And I taught a class called the Abundant Life class. Mm. I taught that class for several years and graduated students from that class, and it was such a blessing. Mm-hmm. And so in the meantime, I would teach something out of the notes that I had on prayer whenever we came to that in the mm-hmm. classes. But I had no idea it was going to, you know, be published.
Yeah.
When the Lord said it was going to be a book, I assumed that it was a book that I was supposed to just teach out of mm-hmm. to the students. And that's how I was doing it. And so in 1999, the book was already written. It had been written at that time for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. It started to press on my heart about, is this going to be a real book or what is this going to be? And then I didn't do anything else with it. I just thought about it and mm-hmm. didn't do anything.
Did you teach from it at that point?
I was still teaching from it. Okay. I was still teaching on prayer out of it, different things out of mm-hmm. the book. I was still teaching out of it. But I was not teaching out of it every time. It was just mm-hmm. different times doing the classes when mm-hmm. Lord would put on my heart to teach about prayer. Mm-hmm. I would go to this. And I would teach the students something out of that. And we would do different prayers, because different prayers is in this book. So as we progressed over the years, my husband became sicker. You know, he didn't get any better. And I was constantly praying for him. He didn't get any better. And I was really concerned about it. It wasn't getting any better. So then in 2012, I knew that he was not going to stay. Mm-hmm. I just knew it. So he passed away in November the 30th, 2012. And the book hadn't been published yet. Mm-hmm. So the next year, I was in a prayer group at the church I was at, and we had been praying for a year. Mm-hmm. And we were winding down from the prayer that year. And as we were about to get ready to leave, one of the people that was there praying came to me and said, "Sister Vera, God said to tell you it's time to publish your book."
Mm.
So I looked at him and I was like, well, he's a man of God. He prays. So how did he know I had a book? I said, well, God had to tell him, because I hadn't told him about a book.
Wow.
So I said, he just looked at me and I just looked at him. So he walked away and then he came back and he said, "Do you have a book?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Is it complete?" I was like, "Yes." He said, "Well, why haven't you published it?" I said, "Because it's just been so much going on over the years, mm-hmm. I just hadn't." So he said, "Well, you need to get it published." So I said, "Okay." So one thing led to another, and God worked it out where I got the book published.
And not self-published, but you have a publisher.
No, self-published.
Self-published, okay.
Self-published. Okay. I got this published myself.
Oh, okay.
And so, but it takes a lot to get it done yourself. It's not easy. It took a lot. And so we got it done. And then the book was very, very popular at first when I first came out, mm-hmm. 2015, December 2015. Mm-hmm. And I started traveling in 2016.
Yeah.
So I traveled and ministered about the book, Florida, Georgia, mm-hmm. Michigan. It was awesome. I loved that part mm-hmm. of it. And then COVID hit. And so we didn't do anything after that. So the book had kind of slowed down from that. But the book is on Amazon, mm-hmm. and you can get it from Amazon.com, and you can get it from my website, prophetessvera.com.
Okay.
And also, you could email me at exhortationspraise77@gmail.com if you want to just mm-hmm. send me an email. But other than that, that's what I do. But I spent a lot of years in the city, mm-hmm. walking the streets of the city and praying.
Wow.
And before the book came about, any of that, mm-hmm. I used to walk the streets. And I was with a prayer group called the United Prayer Intercessors.
Ah.
And we would pray for the mayor. We would pray for him once a week. And he would come to the church down on, I think it's Adams Street, where it used to be at. And it was such a blessing, because we would walk the streets of the city and we would pray for different people on the streets, and we would get them saved mm-hmm. and get them delivered. It was awesome.
Wow.
And so we did that for 10 years. And then we moved. That's when we moved to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I moved, because we moved a couple of times from mm-hmm. Toledo. But we ended up coming back every time.
Again?
Again. And wow. So it's like, why do we keep coming back to the city?
Sounds like your work is here.
It is. And the Lord said, I call you a watchman on the wall for this city. So you pray for the city. So that's what I've been doing for the last 30 years, praying for the city of Toledo. And I've been trying to get the churches to come together as one to pray. And that has been so hard.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them, it's not about your denomination. Mm-hmm. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you claim him as your Savior, we're all one.
Fellowship.
The body of Christ is one.
Yeah.
And I said, the reason why I know it's one is because I've had all these experiences to let me know. God came and he just let me know that he's real. And so the reason why I'm going to share another testimony about, well, before my husband died, I'd say about 8 or 12 days before he died, we were talking. He was in a nursing home. And I always stayed with him wherever he was at. I was always there, hospital, nursing home, whatever, I was there. And so we were talking, and so he told me, he said, you need to move. I said, move? What are you talking about? He said, you're standing in front of the window. They're waiting for me, and you won't let me get through.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew what he was talking about, but I didn't want to accept it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what window? He said, you see it. I did see it. God did show it to me. He said, you see the window? I said, I don't see a window. He said, yes, you do. That's why you're standing there. And he was upset because he wanted to go. And so I went to sleep that night. And while I was sleeping, God spoke to my heart. And he said, Vera, let him go. He wants to come and be with me. And so the next morning, he was on his way to dialysis. And I said, James, I had a dream last night. And God said to let you go.
Mm.
Well, he got so happy. Like, he just lit up. Because he had a relationship with God. He had seen God. He had seen Jesus. He wanted to go be with him. And I knew that he was more important than I was. Jesus was more important than me.
Wow.
So I had to release him and let him go. So I let him go. I say all that to say this about winding back down to the body of Christ being one.
Mm-hmm.
So he died on a Friday. That Sunday, God said, go to church. Well, I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to stay home and cry and just cover my head up. I didn't want to go anywhere. He said, go to church. I have something there for you. I was like, but I don't want to go. He said, go. So I got up, got dressed, went to church. When I walked in, the pastor's wife saw me coming. She came down the aisle and she hugged me and she cried on my shoulder and I cried on her shoulder. And she said, I want to talk to you when service is over. I was like, okay. So when service was over, she came over to me and she grabbed me by the hand. So we stood up. We were standing there. And she said, I just want to share something with you. She said, a few nights ago, I was praying for you and James. And she said, God showed me this vision. And she was making a square like a window. And she said, you were standing in front of the window. Mm. And James was trying to get through the window. And she said, I told God, I can't tell her to let her husband go. She said, God told her, I'm not telling you to tell her anything. I want you to intercede for her so I can speak to her heart.
Wow.
And she prayed for me. And I'm sure it was the same night that God spoke to my heart. And so I told her, I said, let me tell you the front part of that story. So she said, what? And then I shared with her about the window situation that my husband and I had talked about that she didn't even know about. So I knew God was confirming what he had done with me and my husband through her. And so she said, and God told her that he could not do anything in his body without doing it through one of us in the body.
Hmm.
And that's how integral the body of Christ is. It's one.
Many members.
Made up of many members. Hmm. And all of us have a different part, but we function together as one.
That's awesome. Sounds like there's another book.
It is. And I just finished it the other week.
Wow.
And it was the week my son died.
Oh, you lost your son.
I lost my son just recently.
I remember you saying that, yeah. Yeah,
and I had just finished a book a couple of days before he died.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I said, God, what is this? Every time I get a book, one of my family members die. I don't understand it, but he didn't answer me. But anyway, the next book is a book just about Jesus, about the Alpha and the Omega.
Awesome.
From A to Z.
Well, we look forward to that book. And what's the name of the book that you have right now?
The name of the book I have now is Exhortations to Pray.
And it's available where?
It's available on Amazon.com. It's available on prophetthespirit.com. Mm-hmm. And you can send me an email at exhortationstopray77@gmail.com.
Awesome. Do you have any podcast or anything like that going on?
No, I don't.
Not yet?
No.
Maybe sometime in the future.
Maybe sometime in the future.
Well, here's the big question as we're rounding up the program. I'm so thankful for you sharing your story with us today. And I think you kind of answered this already, but I have to ask, what do you think your legacy is and what would you like for it to be?
My legacy is one who has been crucified with Christ. Mm. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me.
Yes.
And I want my legacy to be that this is the lady that stood in the gap and cried out for the city. Mm-hmm. No matter what she came under, no matter what happened to her, she prayed for us because she loved us, because God loves us.
Awesome.
That's
praying
my
for
legacy.
People you don't even know.
No, I don't. I pray for so many people. God has done so many wonderful miracles. And that's why I was questioning God. Why is it I have prayed for people that came back to life?
Wow.
And my family is still dying. I don't get it, God. So God ministered to me about his will. And he said that he has a boundary set for all of us. Hmm. And nobody knows what it is but him. Because it's a secret thing. Hmm. Only God knows the secret things.
So I guess the lesson would be just trust.
Trust him.
With all of your heart.
All your mind, all your soul.
Amen. Well, we thank you for joining us for the Voices of Legacy today. It's been a journey, even you telling your story. Probably have to get a tissue after we're done. But we're thankful. We're thankful for you being here and being able to share openly what you've experienced and what brought you to this place. And of course, a means for people to appreciate that even after they listen to this program. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Did you have any other closing words?
I just want to say that Exhortations to Pray was written for, it's a mandate. Mm-hmm. It was not written for doctrinal purposes. Mm-hmm. It was written for people to grab a hold of it, to pray. Because mm-hmm. the many prayers that's in this book is going to help you. And one of the most famous prayers in this book is the prayer of forgiveness. Ah. And I feel that if we start forgiving.
Yes.
A lot of things can happen for us.
We could talk another half hour about
on that,
just forgiveness.
Yes.
It's needed. But we'll talk some more. It sounds like you're going to have another book, so we'll have something else to talk about. But thank you again so much for gracing us today on the Voices of Legacy. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.